And that is the church's one foundation. And it is the hymn we are going to be looking at for this coming Pentecost Sunday. It's the hymn selected, the church's one foundation. And this is a Rumination Tuesday. And with us on the air is Pastor Mark Smith. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Tom. How you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Weather's a little cooler.
It is. It's a little bit cooler this morning, isn't it?
Yes, I didn't have any problem. Boy, the church is one foundation. This is a hymn by Samuel Stone, written in 1866, and he published 12 of them, and they were based on the Apostles' Creed.
No kidding.
The church's one foundation was number 9, and the part of the Apostles' Creed was, I believe in the Holy Christian Church. And they were written against a deposed Bishop John W. Colenso for calling into question the historicity of certain Old Testament texts.
Really?
Isn't that interesting?
Well, I wonder what the Old Testament texts were that he was questioning.
I don't know. It doesn't say here, but I imagine maybe, let's see, what year? 1861? Yeah, evolution was coming about. And then miracles like going through the Red Sea and this kind of thing. And so this was written with that in the background. Kind of interesting. The church is one foundation. I actually have kind of a negative feeling of the church is one foundation.
Do you really? Well, this is one of my beloved hymns. I've always loved this hymn. What is it you don't like about it?
Well, it's not that I don't like about it. It's where I heard it sung once.
Where was that?
In 1973, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod had a convention in New Orleans, at which time indicated that the majority faculty was teaching doctrine contrary to the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that passed, the liberals stood up and began to sing the Church's One Foundation.
I see, yeah. I could see why that would kind of create a bad memory.
Well,
that was the Rivergate.
Yes. I walked around, though, you know, singing, though, the part where it talks about false teachers. Yes. We'll get to that pretty soon.
Those schisms rent asunder.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. They had a little badge with a little tree with a little plant coming out of
tree,
it.
Tree stump, yes.
Yeah, tree stump.
Yes.
Well, I wore it. I was a reporter there.
Uh-huh.
And I had drawn a snake on the tree stump.
I remember seeing it. You still have that button, don't you?
Oh, sure.
You know,
and people come up to me not knowing who I am. Oh, wonderful. And then they'd look and, what?
You know, the irony of that symbolism is, for one thing, the stump was a huge tree, a magnificent
That's
tree.
Right. Yes.
And secondly, everybody knows that little sprigs coming out of a tree stump like that never grow. They never mount to anything.
Oh, I did not know that biological kind of thing or whatever you want to call it. But there's no doubt that the church at that time was proper in saying that they were following teachings contrary to the Word of God. They became members of the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, and they have male pastors who are getting married, one to each other. They're pro-abortion, I mean, and they deny a lot of the history of the Old Testament. So anybody who's a member of the ELCA Church, you got to be really careful taking your kids there, because they're not hearing the Word of God properly. No doubt about that. So, stanza 1.
Okay. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the Word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died.
See, there's an example where everything that's said here is wonderful, but it can still be sung by people who are making the point that the one foundation is Jesus. So as long as you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, you can deny a lot of the history of the Bible, as long as you don't deny Jesus did those two things. I was taught at the seminary I went, because these pros were teaching there, that
this was before the walkout. Now, right?
Yes, before the walkout in 74, I was taught that, for example, when Jesus made water into wine, it was really his disciples disguised as servants who brought jugs full of wine in to the area. Or that when Jesus healed the demoniac and the pigs went over the hill.
Yeah.
I even remember the name of the book, Markson, M-A-R-X-S-E-N, who taught that what happened was he was an epileptic and he scared the pigs. And that's why they went over the hill and drowned. I mean, it was story after story.
That, rationalization away of the miracles.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all based on this nonsense that we're hearing, even among some in our church, that the way to convert someone is to show the accuracy of the history of the Bible. And I think some of the greatest people who believed the history of the Bible were the Pharisees. They believed in 6-day, 24-hour creation. They believe he died on the cross. They believe he rose from the dead. And Jesus said, your father is the devil. So that whole approach is one which talks about historic faith and forgets about saving faith, which trusts the promises of the gospel.
Right.
Now, what Seminex, and that's what they call themselves, seminary in exile, because they walked out expecting to return, but Dr. Martin Charlemagne was made the new president, and he wouldn't let them to return unless they repented. And, of course, they wouldn't. So that's they broke off and became another little denomination, which joined with two others. The Lutheran Church of America, American Lutheran Church, became ELCA. But we're getting more and more people leaving the ELCA, and I was just talking to a congregation that's growing because people are leaving that particular Lutheran congregation and coming over to the LCMS.
Yes, in fact, I have a friend, a college friend, that was a member of an ELCA congregation, and I think the tipping point for him and his people was when they started to ordain homosexuals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They woke up there.
Yeah. On the one hand, to do that and then say the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, they've changed Jesus Christ into the devil. It's the devil who's moving them to do those kinds of things. And unfortunately, we have a political situation where now, for some reason, gay marriage is legal. but so is abortion, you know, the murdering of children in the womb. Stanza 2.
Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food. And to one hope she presses with every grace endued.
This was on the front page of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about a congregation that's really growing because they're taking people who no longer like the institutional church and coming over. And so I read the article and said they invite everyone without any asterisks. So that was the title. I didn't have to read the article to know that, therefore, they were allowing homosexuals, you know, who were unrepentant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That was the first thing. And second of all, this is not true. They do not allow anybody to come. Would they allow a practicing pedophile to join their church and teach their Sunday school, or a serial rapist, or a murderer, etc.? No, I don't think they would. But they would allow homosexuals, people who want to have abortions, and this kind of thing. Now, they're building another church. You know, we've got over 1 million people in St. Louis because they're hoping to get up to 600 in church. I mean, we've got a bunch of churches, Missouri Synod, that have over that every Sunday. So it's a very tiny number of people. But it is something to keep in mind that a lot of people may be leaving the church because they disagree with our morality. And there's no doubt that the hymn says, her charter of salvation, elect from every nation. Yeah, there's no doubt that the elect, which are those who are saved, are from every nation. And it doesn't matter their color, their nationality, or whatever.
Socioeconomic background,
no.
Nothing.
But what does matter is whether they're repentant over their sin.
Right.
Yeah, I like listening to this Peterson guy out of a psychologist out of University of Toronto. He's not a Christian, but he sounds very Lutheran. He talks about that when he begins his class in psychology, he tells his students he has one goal, and that is to get rid of the Nazi in each one of them. It's really, and then he explains what he means. That it reminded me of the gospel reading where the woman committed adultery.
Yes.
And Jesus says, who is left to condemn you?
Right.
Nobody. I won't condemn you either. But Jesus treats the Pharisee like Nazis. He says, he who is without sin cast the first stone. And finally, the older ones start walking away, right. And then all of them do. And see, that's the point. And that's why the law is so hard for people to receive, because proper preaching of the law shows that at heart we're all Nazis.
That's right. Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Out of the heart proceed murders, adulteries,
very
fornications.
Good. Yes. And people hate hearing that. In fact, after I did that story in the Bible study last week, and at the end when Jesus said, go and sin no more, a woman put up her hand and she asked, do you think she stopped from sinning?
Well, that's a question everybody's asking.
And so here's how I answered it.
Yeah.
I looked at her and I said, would you have stopped if you had been that woman?
Oh, that was a good
she
comeback.
She says, yes, I would have stopped from sinning. And I looked at her and I said, so you don't sin no more? And everybody started laughing, and she finally got it. None of us stop from sinning.
No.
It's a command from God, and that's why we so need what gift from Jesus?
Forgiveness.
Exactly. Yeah. That was a good one. And did you ever figure out what he was writing in the dust?
No. I've seen depictions of that. What do you think it was? Where Jesus was writing in the dust when they came to present the adulterers?
Well, they said, will you stone her?
Yeah.
Because they thought they had him.
And he was writing something in the dust, and it doesn't ever say what it was. What do you think it was?
Scripture interprets Scripture.
Yeah.
According to the law, when two people are caught in adultery, both of them are brought before the priest at the temple.
Yes.
And in the dust of the temple, he writes their names. And then they're stoned, and then they remove the dust.
Is that right?
Yes. I think one of the things is he could have been looking around and writing the names of those who were about to stone her. And the second time he went down, he started putting down their sins that they had done.
Well, that would have been a lot of names and a lot of sins.
Oh, now, that's just conjecture.
Uh-huh.
Todd on Issues, Etc. suggested he was writing down the Ten Commandments.
Mm.
Others say he was just doodling. He wasn't writing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know we don't have anything in the Bible that was written by Jesus?
Well, he used the apostles and he used the prophets of the Old Testament to do the writing for him.
Yes.
But it was all inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Plus, a lot of times the writing, like the Sermon on the Mount, he didn't write it out. But he definitely had it written by the apostles, So, but I never thought about that we don't have any writing from Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you're thinking, trying to figure out what it is.
Well, he wrote it all. My answer is he wrote it all, really.
Did God do any writing?
Of course.
What?
It's all inspired by the Holy Spirit.
No, the actual writing.
Ten Commandments.
Very good. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. The
written
two tables
by the
law.
Finger of God, yes.
Yeah, and when we grew up, there were two tablets with the first three and the last seven.
Yes.
Which is a contradiction of Scripture.
Yes, I know you've told us that.
Yeah. In Exodus 32, it's written on both sides of the tablets. And we still haven't figured out how it was divided. I think they were just copies one of another. like they were. But at any rate, that story about the woman caught in adultery, there's something he says. First of all, where in that story has she repented?
Let's see.
The answer is nowhere.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I can't see any evidence of her repentance.
No. And yet, what does he say?
He says, neither do I condemn you.
Yes.
Go and sin no more.
And I made the point there, that's the difference between objective justification and subjective.
Yeah.
That when Christ died, he took the condemnation away from everybody.
And on himself.
Believer or unbeliever. And the reason some people don't go to heaven is they don't receive
that gift. They don't accept it
in
by faith.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And so that's really...
it's offered to everybody.
It's given to everybody.
Everybody. Right.
There's...
But if they don't receive it,
yeah,
they leave it on the table.
Well said. Stanza 3.
Though with a scornful wonder the world sees her oppressed, it's talking of the church there, of course, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song.
You see, we were weeping over the teaching that was coming out of Concordia Seminary St. Louis since about 1945. And this is the verse I was singing that nobody liked to hear, you know. By schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed. Do you remember what the vote was to declare the faculty majority teaching that which is contrary to the Word of God? It was really surprising to me. The number of people who agreed with that was 666.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that interesting? And then there were about 400 who voted that they weren't doing false teaching. But, of course, after that came the big walkout, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And they left our church.
Less and less people, Tom, less and less people remember those times, you know?
Yes.
These young guys going to the seminary now and coming out of the seminary, I mean, if they were even born by then.
I had about 70 field workers, seminarians assigned to my church for the 28 years I was there, and I would make a point going out one time and going through all of that.
Uh-huh.
Because I had personally experienced it. Yeah, I was at New Orleans sitting and somebody had poured milk over my head. You know, they were that
really?
Angry. Oh, yeah, they were really angry with us.
Well, you wrote that Watershed at...
Yes, Watershed at the Rivergate, and that's still available. If anybody like a copy, you can email me. But stanza 4.
Through toil and tribulation and tumult of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and soon and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest.
Yes. So we go through trial and tribulation. There's no church, no denomination where there is not infighting over doctrine.
That's right.
And every now and then I hear people say, well, we should stop fighting with each other. No, I really disagree with that. If you have a false teacher, you need to make it clear. Where we should stop fighting is fighting over things that has no biblical basis. Like I heard some people say, you don't really have a worship service unless you have the Lord's Supper in it. Well, that's not according to the Bible.
No.
No, not anywhere. So it's really important that what we argue has to be biblically based. And if it's not, just ignore the other side, you know, because they're really talking about a utopia of a church that just doesn't exist. Stanza 5.
Yet she on earth has union with God, the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. O blessed heavenly chorus, Lord, save us by your grace, that we, like saints before us, may see you face to face.
Yeah, that face to face is interesting. I think we get that from Job. I know that my Redeemer lives.
And that he shall stand of the latter day upon the earth, and after My skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. My own eyes will behold him.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Boy, you got that memorized. That's very good.
I was wondering about this, you know, where it says,
yes.
Talks about saints, their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long? That reminded me of the verse, Revelation 6:9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the witness they had borne. They cried out with a loud voice, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Remember that passage?
Oh, yeah.
You think that's what it's referring to there?
I think so, yes. Once more, you know, at the bottom of this, they have just three verses. They do have Revelation 7, 14b to 17.
Uh-huh.
But you could have, on some of these hymns, 100 verses.
Yeah.
Especially...
I think of the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ. I think of that where Peter's confession.
Yes.
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus makes the point, it's on... This is the rock upon which I built my church.
Exactly.
The confession of Jesus Christ.
And he also says to Peter, you didn't think of that yourself.
Right.
You got that from the Father.
Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven.
Yes. Excellent. But he didn't understand it.
No.
Because just a few paragraphs later, Jesus has to say, get thee behind me,
yes.
Satan. And why does he say that?
Well, because Peter says, this will never happen to you. No.
What?
You'll never go to the cross. You'll
right.
never be killed. Go to the cross. No, that's not.
And Jesus even tells him, before the rooster crows twice, you'll deny me
three times. Right.
I never can understand, he denied him twice and the rooster crowed. Wouldn't that have reminded him of something? Maybe I better not do it the third time.
Well, and then he looks at Jesus, and Jesus looks right at him.
Yes.
And, oh, man.
And he weeps.
Yeah, goes out and weeps.
Satan goes out. Satan, no. Judas goes out and commits suicide by
right.
Satan. Peter repents.
Yes.
It's really quite a difference there. And that's how all we are to do. All of us have our little Nazis within ourselves. I've always thought that anybody could become a Nazi under the right circumstances. And we're seeing that with many mothers who are doing to their children in the womb
yes.
what Nazis did.
Oh, I know. It's
it's
a shame. It is a shame.
What really encourages me is more and more on news are now talking about this as murder. And I don't see how somebody who wants to kill their baby has any option to disagree with that particular point of view. And that's why they get so angry. You know, nobody has the right to tell me what I can do with my own body. Well, yeah, it's just that it's not your own body.
Well, and they talk about, you know, everybody's wound up about, you know, ripping away these kids at the border from their parents.
Yes.
But, you know, the ultimate is, of course, ripping these babies
yes.
out of the womb. You
well
know, they
said.
Don't say anything about that.
No. And I think partly the blame is the church.
Yeah.
You got a lot of pastors who want to stay away from
that's right.
homosexuality and abortion because they're going to divide. I always remember your church. How many crosses did you have out there?
Oh, they represented every abortion each day.
Wonderful.
I had about 100 or so, yeah.
And preaching this Sunday and Saturday, what are your
yeah.
times?
5 o'clock Saturday evening at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church in Crestwood, or 9 o'clock Sunday morning. We'd love to have you.
And what's your Bible study Sunday mornings?
We are studying angels and demons these days. Angels and demons.
I hope this week it's angels. Okay. And that's Pastor Mark Smith. Tomorrow, God bless.
Listen to Long Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Long Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.